in light of the thinking about the proposition that was made there for our Sunday school, and thinking about history, I think it's I'm excited about that. I think it's I'm going to talk about history a little bit this morning, but I think it's important that we know that where we're from and where we've been and where we're going, where we are. So studying history will help us with that. So I'd encourage us to go that direction and share there. I think it'd be a benefit. This recently I read a devotional by A.W. Tozer, and I've been pondering that. And then Friday we had the opportunity to go with the young people with the upper grades to on their field trip to Kansas City. And no, we don't have children in school, but they asked me to drive, so that's how we got there. And one of the places we went to was the World One Museum, and been there quite a few years ago with the youth, I believe. But it kind of hit me a little bit differently this time. One of the first questions our guide asked is, who started World War One? And there wasn't too many answers there. Too many of us that had answers anyway. But Germany got the blame, but was it really them? And I'll leave that for you to figure out. But I had to think, as I was thinking about that, I had to think of those verses out of James. I'm going to read a couple of verses there out of James chapter 4, the first couple of verses. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. So there was, in our Sunday school lesson today, we studied possessions. They talked about the author there said that he asked not to have poverty, but not to have riches. He wanted to sound like he wanted to be in a place where he could live life, but not be stuck in poverty, and neither have to deal with the riches. Well, here James says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? And, you know, when we went to that museum, that's definitely where you think a lot of the terrible things that went on there. Millions of men lost their lives in that war. And, you know, I heard some questions asked, what can we learn from going through that museum? Well, number one, that war is a terrible thing. And one thing our guide said, you know, we can learn from history. If we don't study history, we will repeat it. You know, the world was going through a culture shift there. And as we watched those films and the demonstrations, the things that were going on in all the different countries, there was unrest. There was they wanted something different. Some of them were pushing toward socialism. There was the rich were getting richer, the poor were getting poorer, and it was just unrest. And some saw war as a legitimate way to get what they wanted. And you know, nobody, after it was all over, they tried to figure out who started it. Nobody thought. I don't think anyone thought it would end up like it did. You know, we can only imagine the devastating effects. You know, millions of lives lost, plus civilian casualties, those that were maimed, food shortages. Even today, there's ground, I think it's in France, that's not safe to really work or to be on because of all the artillery and all the stuff that, the weapons that are buried there, that are left there. It's a dangerous place. This many years later, 110, whatever it is, years after. Well, there's a little reference in that museum to conscientious objectors. There's a plaque. There is one of the films mentions the conscientious conscientious objector status. And I wouldn't say that our guide glorified the war, but tried to point out the importance of avoiding it. But we know according to Scripture that there will be wars and rumors of wars until the end of time. When James talks about wars and fightings, he brings it much closer home. You know, A.W. Tozer says that the church of God has two opposing dangers that should be recognized and avoided. They are a cold heart and a hot head. And for downright harmful effects, the hot head is often the worst of the two. You know, James gives us a picture of the human heart. You know, is it possible to confuse the fervor of the spirit with the heat of the flesh? You know, sometimes I believe that we can get caught up in the heat of emotions and forget to look at the facts. We may believe we're carrying a vision of our dad, our grandpa, our forefathers. And if we truly look at their vision and goals, are we really? What would they tell us from their heavenly perspective? You know, there can never be too much fire if it's a true fire of God. But along with that, there needs to be cool judgment. You know, incidentals can be blown up and become fundamentals. Byproducts can become a main product. If we don't know our history, we are bound to repeat it. We need discernment. What is the spirit behind this? Are we able to distinguish the chaff from the wheat? Or the fireflies from the real fire? Are we determined to hold on to a point that creates a lot of heat, convinced it is the real fire? You know, I have to think of people I met growing up, and it wasn't here. But that as a young fellow, I sat there and observed. I wasn't used to hot discussions on eschatology. There was never that much of that here, a little bit, but not that. Didn't usually get carried away. But here, these men would sit around after church, and they would talk. And there was, the voices would get kind of louder and louder. The collars, the necks would get red. And this was on both sides. There was a lot of heat built up in talking about the subject. You know, was that the fire of God? How does God look at that type of heat? Ezekiel 44:18, talking about the priests, he said, "They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat." So I don't know what all this is bringing, what all that points to, but the priests were not to wear anything that causes sweat. You know, Tozer says, human sweat can add nothing to the work of the Spirit, especially when it is nerve sweat. The hottest fire of God is cool when it touches the redeemed intellect. It makes the heart glow, but leaves the judgment completely calm. You know, I believe we're living in a time of culture change and pressures. We see it in the world around us in general. And unfortunately, I hear too many believers getting worked into a sweat over politics. You know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." You know, let love burn with increasing fervor. But let's bring every act to the quiet test of wisdom. Keep the fire in the furnace where it belongs. You know, an overheated chimney will create more excitement than a well-controlled furnace, but it's likely to burn the house down. You know, I've had a roaring fire in my chimney. And when you're sitting down in the basement and you start hearing this roar, and it's not coming from the stove, but it's like coming from up there somewhere, you get nervous really fast. And you don't waste any time shutting everything down, cutting off the air, cutting off what it takes for that fire to grow, and wondering what you're going to do next if this thing don't get stopped. You know, if you have a composition roof, you're going to be calling the fire department very quickly. You know, that flame in the chimney doesn't do anybody any good. It doesn't do your chimney any good. It's going to destroy your chimney, most chimneys anyway, if that goes on too long. So let's let the rule be a hot furnace, but a cool chimney. And I believe then our focus as a child of God will be to let his light shine through us and to be a vessel in his hands. Let's stand together for prayer. Our kind Heavenly Father, as we come before thee again this morning, we thank you again for your love to us. We thank you for this opportunity to be together and to have the privilege of singing together, to worshiping together, and just pray that we might continue to lift our hearts to you, and that you, your Spirit might be in our midst and open our hearts to what you have for us. We pray that you might be with the many today that are living in war-ravaged countries and places. Just pray that you might show yourself strong on their behalf. Be with your people that are working in and amongst there. We pray for their protection, and we just pray that for the many that are being persecuted for your name's sake, we just pray for their protection. And we just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you have. Just help us to use them to bring honor and glory to you and to be a vessel in your hands. We just want to commit this service to you. We pray that you might be with Brother Jonathan as he shares the word with us. Just anoint his lips, open our hearts to what you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.